This gospel reading today presents the classic encounter of Martha and Mary and Jesus. And I don't know about you, but when I read this gospel, I tend to think that Martha kind of gets a bad rap. After all, she's doing all the work. She's taking care of the food. She's trying to be a good host to Jesus. And then, seemingly, there's Mary sitting there doing nothing. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus while Martha is doing all the work. And Martha, it seems, has a pretty good case against Mary. In fact, she comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, don't you see this? Doesn't this seem unfair?" And Jesus says something very important. He doesn't tell Martha that what she's doing is bad, but rather he says, "Martha, you are anxious and you are worried about many things. There is need of only one thing." Contrast between the many things that Martha is worried about, good things even, serving is good. But Jesus says there's one thing that is more important, and in this case, it's himself. Jesus is present, and when Jesus is present, that is the one thing that matters above the many other things, good as they might be. I think it's a kind of a happy coincidence that this gospel is given today on the Feast of St. Francis. This is the regular gospel for today, but it falls on the Feast of St. Francis. Francis was born into a rich family. He had great means. He intended to go on to inherit his father's fortune, to be a person of great influence in the town of Assisi. But eventually, St. Francis becomes unhappy. He realizes that although he has so many worldly things, that he's not happy. And up on the city of Assisi is built on a hill. And St. Francis was able to look down into the valley and there see a little church. And eventually he decided that he couldn't handle all this wealth and this affluence, that he was not able to hear God amidst all the distractions. He found himself anxious and worried about many things. And one day he got the great inspiration that in fact there's really only one thing that matters, and that's God. Now St. Francis had a very unique calling, and that he felt called by God to leave everything, to leave the walled city of Assisi and go down to that little church to live in what was basically a swamp in the valley. It was an abandoned church because no one wanted to be there. But St. Francis felt this radical call to live for God alone. So he does something very interesting. He actually, as a sign of his commitment to God, goes before the leader of the town with the whole city looking on, and he takes off all his clothes and presents them to the mayor of the town and says, "I leave all this behind." And he walks away naked out into the swamp. That's a radical commitment to God. In fact, I don't encourage you actually to do that. If you were to take off all your clothes and present them to me, I think I'd call the police. So maybe that's not how you're called to offer everything to God. But in St. Francis's case, that was how radical he saw his life changing. He took off all the earthly things that were a sign of his wealth and his status. And he said, "You know what, God, I give them all to you." The religious garb, the habit, as it's called, that a religious would wear, especially the Franciscans, come from this time of St. Francis when, as he's walking away naked, a beggar who has almost nothing for himself sees St. Francis naked and actually gives him a little beggar's cloak to wear. And that became his religious habit. I had a chance to go to Assisi, and you can see the habit of St. Francis. It's made basically of just burlap almost. And that, he felt, was the most noble thing he could ever wear. St. Francis is known for his great love of poverty. But it would be a mistake if we were to see that is what St. Francis is about. St. Francis didn't just love poverty because he loved being poor. Rather, he was like Mary in the gospel, who had found the one thing. And when he knew he had found the one thing, it was so powerful in his life that nothing could hold him back. He receives that little beggar's cloak, and he seeks then, through a vision of God, to rebuild his church. And literally, he starts to rebuild a little ruined church that was out there in the valley. And indeed, many people see St. Francis and they say, why is he so happy? He seems to have nothing. He's living in a swamp. But there were others who said, I want that. Some laughed at him, mocked him. Look at St. Francis down there in the valley. They would sit up in the hill on the city and look down in the valley and say, there's Francis, the nut. He's crazy. But others said, you know what? St. Francis is happy and I'm not. I am anxious and worried about many things, but there's St. Francis and he's happy and joyful. And those people decided, I want to do that too. And little by little, people started to leave Assisi to go down and live in the swamp with St. Francis, the first Franciscan brothers. From that early beginning, today, there are hundreds of thousands of brothers of St. Francis, the Franciscans and the Poor Clares. St. Clare was one of those people who saw Francis and said, I want to have what he has. Clare, too, was from a wealthy family. They made their families very upset when they left all this wealth. But St. Francis knew well our psalm today. He heard the piece, you are my inheritance, O Lord. He didn't want the inheritance of his earthly father, all the wealth that it provided. He said, rather, I want to live for God. He found the one thing, and his life had meaning because of it. Now, maybe we're not called to take off all our clothes and go live in a swamp. That was a unique time in the life of St. Francis. But God calls you, nonetheless, to give everything to him. If I could think of a greater patron saint, I don't know of one for our youth today, because indeed, so many of you are anxious and worried about many things. All of them, not necessarily bad things. We just look today at all of the sports that we will soon process forward with, carrying our volleyballs and footballs and golf clubs and tennis rackets and all the things that we would carry in. Those are all good things. Think of all the opportunity you have today. It's amazing if you think about all you can do. You have been gifted with so much. You are in many ways like St. Francis, where you have so much that has been given to you. You are wealthy beyond measure. Whether money or not, many of us have a lot of money, but just the opportunity that you have. How many people would love to be at this school, to be where you're at? You are wealthy. But what will you do with that? Are you worried and anxious about so many things? I see so many young people today. They're like, I could do this. I could be a great soccer player, so I think I'll do that. But I'd also be great on an instrument, so I'll do band. But I'd really also like to do debate, so I'll do that too. And maybe I'll join some other league on the side, so when I'm not doing that at school, I can play more sports. And maybe I'll do this and that and this. There are so many things that you could do. All of them good. But in the end, do we end up like Martha? Anxious and worried about many things, so afraid that we will miss out on something that we just try to do everything. The answer here is that we've got to find not just a bunch of good things, but each of you has to discover what is the one thing. And I don't just mean one sport or one activity per season. That's what I had to focus on, to limit myself. Okay, I will do one thing per season. I mean, even beyond that, what is the one thing that will give meaning to your life? Sports can be a part of that, activities a part of it, relationships, your friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, all that can be part of it. But if we don't know what the one thing is, then all these other good things will actually serve to just distract us and leave us without peace. Deep down, we all want that peace that St. Francis had. Not because necessarily he left everything to live in poverty, but because he knew that there was one thing worth leaving it all for. We too can find that one thing right here at Bishop Miege High School. I would offer to you today that that one thing has ultimately got to be God and his plan, his mission for your life. But to find that one thing, you've got to put everything else in order around it. Everything you do, you've got to ask yourself, will doing this additional activity, will doing this help me get closer to heaven? Or does it actually just add one more thing that might actually get in the way? That was Martha's problem. She was doing good things, lots of them, to the point where the good things became so so overwhelming that Jesus was right in front of her and she missed it because she was too busy. I challenge you that amidst all the opportunities, all that you have to do, know why you do it and know what the one thing is that your life is really all about. God wants you to experience all the joys that life has to offer. In abundance, He made them for us. But in the end, God is the one thing that really matters. All the other stuff is only of value to the extent that it gets us closer to God. You know, St. Francis is often seen as loving animals. People think, isn't it cute? St. Francis, he just loved animals. St. Francis did not just love animals because they were cute. I love the little bunny rabbits and squirrels that run outside Curie of Ars Parish. I look at them out my window and they say, aren't they cute? That was not what St. Francis was doing. St. Francis did not love squirrels. Squirrels are nice, but they're not worth leaving everything to go say, isn't it nice to live with squirrels? St. Francis loved the animals because when he saw them, he could look at them and say, look, they've got nothing. They don't have all this wealth that I had back in Assisi, but look at them. They're happy. God provides for them. The animals don't do anything for themselves. God gives them their food. He gives them their shelter. And St. Francis reasoned that if God will take care of a squirrel, will he not take care of me? St. Francis left everything and loved animals because he trusted that God would take care of him. So you don't need to feel that if you decide, I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do this extra thing, that somehow you will miss out. It's precisely in life when I've been able to focus and direct myself that I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything. Rather, I feel like I found the one thing. Before I became a priest, I was a software engineer. I was working for Sprint. I had a great job, a great house. I was doing all kinds of things. I would spend my day working. I would go in the evenings to church and learn great things. I was doing a lot of stuff. People would say that I had so many opportunities and options. But it wasn't really until I decided to leave all that and become a priest that I was really content and happy. Because I knew when I became a priest that I had found the one thing that life for me was really all about. I knew that I was doing what God wanted me to do. And when you first take that step forward, it might seem like when you say yes to God, that you're closing off a whole bunch of other options. But really what I have found is that when we say yes to God, when we put the one thing above all, God opens up things in our life that we could never imagine. I never thought I would be a chaplain of a high school. And when I was told by the Archbishop that I would be, I didn't think I'd like it. Now I'm here with all of you, and there's no place I'd rather be. God knew that I would love being a priest and love doing this, even when I didn't. What is God asking you to do? Maybe it is to leave everything and follow Him as a priest or a religious like St. Francis and St. Clair. Some of you here are called to that. Listen to that voice. But for most of us, how is God asking us to leave everything? I'd end you with this challenge. You know, in our offertory procession, we're about to carry up little golf clubs and soccer balls and footballs, and that's nice. It's homecoming. We honor those sports. But I would challenge you, don't do anything without knowing the meaning behind it. St. Francis taking off his clothes and giving them to the governor is the most meaningful event in his life, a radical change. So I would challenge you, as we bring up all these instruments of our sports, I would say the number one thing in our life these days that keeps us anxious and worried and not focused on the one thing might be sports. Good in themselves, do we let them get in the way of the one thing? As we bring all these things and place them before the altar, let us in our hearts and our minds also say to God, God, I place all this in front of you so that you might be in front of everything. If I'm going to put my little soccer ball in front of the altar, let's acknowledge, look, God, may I never put a soccer game or a soccer practice ahead of you. I'm going to put a golf club there. God, I will never put a tea time on Sunday ahead of Mass time on Sunday. God, you will be first. I will never put anything, especially sports, in front of you. I lay these footballs, these soccer balls, volleyballs, this shoe for cross country. God, I will never put any of these things ahead of you because you are the one thing. These many things, good as they are, I will not put them ahead of you. If we can do that, then maybe those things we put in front of the altar will have some meaning for us. The number one thing that people confess when they come to confession and say, Father, I missed Mass. It's because they put sports ahead of God. I decided to go to a volleyball tournament instead of Mass. I decided to go to the Chiefs game instead of Mass. Or a host of other things. Today, nobody take off your clothes and leave them before the altar. That would be weird. But do, as we leave these sporting things before the altar, and whatever it might be in your mind, leave them before God. Know that they are great. God wants us to enjoy them. They are the many good things in life. But we bring them before the place that shows us the one thing, God. We pray that through St. Francis and his intercession, we could have the great joy that he had of enjoying everything life has to offer, but doing so because we know the one thing that really matters, and that is God.